One dark, stormy Halloween night, I had a big fight with my mom. I had told her I was going to a costume party, and she had agreed. Later that day, the sky turned dark and it started getting stormy. I went back to my mother, but to my surprise, she changed her mind. I felt bad, and I still couldn't handle that she still treats me like a baby. I will be 18 in a few months, and my mother still treats me like I'm an 8-year-old. I stormed to my room to text my best friend, Cheryl. I told her not to bother picking me up and that my mom wouldn't let me go to the party. Cheryl was a party freak, so she advised me to sneak out later and texted me the party's address. I thought about it for a while, but ended up agreeing to Cheryl's advice. I knew I had to make my mom stay out my room, so I wore my pink nightgown and pretended to be asleep. My mother came into my room and found me sleeping. She patted me on the head and said some prayers as she wished me a good night, turned off my room light, and shut the door behind her. Immediately, I noticed my mom was out of my room. I sneaked out. On my way to the address, it was a nice and classy restaurant, but it wasn't a party, I thought to myself. There was not many people there. I sat down in front of a couple. A waiter approached to take my order. He was tall and handsome. I smiled as bright as possible, and I asked him about the costume party. I showed him the address Cheryl had sent me, and he told me I wasn't at the right address.
Your friend must have made a mistake, the waiter said.
I asked the waiter for a drink, and I kept calling Cheryl, but all to no avail. Her dial was redirecting me to drop a voicemail. The couple seated in front of me was young. The man was good-looking. He smiled at me and gave me a lustful look, and I looked at him in disgust. He was right there with his wife and still trying to flirt with me. The waiter brought the drink I asked for. There were chocolates and biscuits on the table, so I took some. I remember wondering if they were free. I started feeling funny, so I decided to use the bathroom. I looked around and I saw the bathroom sign. As I walked towards the bathroom, I heard two voices.
She's not part of the plan.
Then why did you attend her? I told you not to let anyone in. She'll leave anytime soon.
No, we can't let her leave yet. She might ruin our plans.
I stood there petrified. So many questions were going through my mind. I even forgot to use the bathroom. Right there, I decided to leave the restaurant immediately and call the cops. So I went back to get my bag and leave. But I couldn't find my bag. I asked the couple sitting opposite me, but they didn't respond. Instead, they looked away. I looked up and saw the waiter who served me coming from the bathroom and walking toward me.
What's wrong?
He asked. I can't seem to find my bag, I answered. At this point, my voice trembled and I was shaking. What could be their plan? I thought. The vision of being attacked or raped flashed through my mind. I had kept my phone in my bag before going to the bathroom, but couldn't find my bag.
I'll ask security for your bag. Now, sit and take your drink, the waiter told me.
His tone was altering. I could sense he was getting annoyed. Immediately, I sat down and smiled. For every second that passed, my eyes were fixed on the door. The waiter noticed this and stood at the door. Right there, my heart was beating fast and I was panicking. The waiter stood still at the door, gazing at me. I wondered if he added something to the drink. I thought about telling the couple in front of me what I heard, but I decided not to. I just wanted to get the hell out of there. I was lost in thought. I blamed Cheryl all the while. How could she? I mumbled. The waiter left the door shortly, and another man with firm muscles and broad shoulders came in through the door. He was handsome, but the least I could do was notice him. He winked at the couple. Hello, Jaden. Nice to meet you. The handsome men greeted each other. The front door was still open, so I stood up and was ready to leave when I heard the waiter's loud voice. I sat back down and pretended to eat. Can I eat with you? Jaden, the man who had just entered, asked.
Suit yourself, I replied.
He tried starting a conversation, but I wasn't giving in. He called the waiter and asked for a drink, which he went away to get. My eyes followed the waiter around, and then I saw a back door. I stood up quietly and walked casually to the back door. I opened the door and saw someone outside. I strode past him, and then I started walking faster.
Hey, stop!
Someone shouted. It was Jaden.
I didn't listen. Instead, I ran, and he started running after me. I was shouting for help, but there was so much noise, no one could hear me. I was already in tears, and my vision was getting blurry. I tripped and fell. I looked back, and he was already close to me. I quickly stood up to run, but he was fast. I thought about what my mom had said. I should have listened to her. I should have stayed at home. Jaden caught me and held my hand tightly. As he dragged me, I peed myself uncontrollably. I kept begging and crying. Please don't hurt me. I'll give you whatever you want. A strange man attacked Jaden and hit him with a rod on the head, and he fell to the ground. I tried to run again. No one is going to hurt you. Just follow me. The man who rescued me said as he pinned Jaden to the ground and handcuffed him. He told me to calm down and showed me his ID. He told me he was an undercover agent and that a criminal was still in the restaurant and they were trying to arrest him. He told me to clean my tears and go back inside the restaurant. I was confused, but I decided to play along. I went back and sat down. The man in front of me looked shocked when he saw me and not Jaden. He stood up to leave with his wife. Two men entered and walked to where I was. My heart was about to pop out when I heard, "You're under arrest, Anderson. Your game stops here." It turns out the couple sitting in front of me wasn't a real couple. The man was a serial killer, and Jaden was his accomplice. He abducts young girls, drugs, torture, and kills them. He had been wanted for years. The lady I thought was his wife was a new victim. He had given her some injections, and she wasn't in her right senses. I couldn't believe I thought someone as evil to be good looking. The police had gotten information that he was coming to that restaurant for dinner. Everyone in the restaurant was an undercover agent except me. I watched the police capture Anderson. As he tried to escape, something fell from his body. And to my surprise, it was my bag. The lady was wheeled away in an ambulance, and Anderson was handcuffed and taken to the police station. The waiter who attended to me introduced himself as Detective Mike. He handed my bag to me and told me if Anderson hadn't been caught, I could have been his next victim. The police dropped me home that night. The siren had woken my mom and she was already waiting outside. But before she could say anything, I hugged her in tears. "I'm sorry, Mom," I said repeatedly. I couldn't sleep that night, and I still get PTSD whenever I'm around the subway, knowing fully well that I could have been a killer's next victim. I'm pretty sure that if you ask someone the question, "What's the happiest place in the world?" they'll all answer your question with one word: Disneyland. But I'm one of those few people who always had a different answer, as there was a time in my life when the happiest place in the world to me was a particular Subway restaurant down the block. Now, I'm sure you're wondering what kind of crazy person would say a chain restaurant is the happiest place in the world. But after telling you my experience, you'll understand the messed up reason as to why it was my happy place. It happened when I was in my final year of college. At the time, I was going through a very rough patch, and I eventually became seriously depressed. I was walking home from school one day when I wanted to stop and grab something to eat. I looked up close restaurants on my phone, and the nearest place was the Subway restaurant down the block. So I decided to go there. There was nothing special about this particular joint, as I had been to a Subway restaurant before, but when I walked in, I felt an eerie calmness as my head went light, and for the first time in years, I felt relaxed. As I sat down and ordered, I realized that I wasn't the only one experiencing this euphoric feeling, as everyone else, from the waitress to the customers and even the kids, were all oddly calm, and they had smiles plastered across all their faces. The place felt like home, and after I was done eating, I sat there and ordered a few more drinks just so I wouldn't have to leave so soon, and that was the first of the many calm evenings that I was going to have in the following months. After that day, going to that Subway joint became second nature to me, as I ate all the meals there, be it breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and I didn't care if it was a monotone diet or if it wasn't that healthy. I just wanted to go there. Soon enough, my friends Marvin, Sean, and Emily all became curious as to why I was incessantly going to a particular Subway restaurant, and I remember saying to them, "Look, I really don't know how to explain it to you guys, but there's just something about that place that's really calming. It's like home." I remember Emily laughed at the statement as she said, Really? A Subway joint? It's great, but it's not that great. I knew they weren't going to believe me, so I looked at them and said, "How about we all go after class today? I'm sure you'll see what I'm talking about." Surely enough, after classes that day, we went to the joint, and within minutes, they all had smiles on their faces. After we finished eating, I remember saying to them, "You see, I told you that it was just one of those places with good vibes." I watched as they all nodded their heads in agreement to my statement, and after that, we had a very fun evening at the restaurant, as we just stayed there ordering drinks and talking. Everything was fine and perfect till the 21st of February, 2019. That day marked the beginning of the strange events that were going to happen in the following weeks. We were at our normal Subway restaurant that day when something very morbid happened. A 12-year-old kid who was sitting with his family at the table next to us became very silent as he quietly got up and walked to a window. Now, his odd behavior had gathered our attention as well as the attention of his family. I heard his mother call out to him, but instead of running back into his mother's arms, I watched as the kid slammed his head into the window in front of him. It cracked, and there was a small cut on his face. But just like before, with no hesitation, the kid slammed his head into the window again and again, all while having a smile on his face. Screams erupted from around the restaurant as the boy's parents rushed to get him to stop. They pulled at him, but he forcefully continued to repeatedly smash his head into that window. To be honest, the worst thing about that morbid moment wasn't the horrific scene that I had just witnessed. No. The worst thing was that as I calmly watched the glass shards puncture and cut the 12-year-old boy's face, I felt nothing but happiness. The parents of the child eventually forced their boy away from the window and the police were called. Due to all the commotion, I and my friends decided to leave as we were all stunned at what had just happened. The very next day saw the continuation of the strange occurrences as Emily had fallen down convulsing during her first class of the day. So Marvin and Sean had to take her to the hospital. I received a text from Sean after class that day saying, "Emily has been admitted and she's being checked. Apparently, Marvin's sick too as he recently started throwing up and I don't feel too good either. I think it's a bug or something. We really need you here, man. Make sure you come by after classes." Now, these people were literally my best friends in the world, as I had known Emily since we were kids and I went to high school with Marvin and Sean. They were like blood brothers to me. But after school that day, I found myself cycling to my Subway joint instead of the hospital. I knew it was the most messed up thing I had done in my life, as my best friends were all lying sick in the hospital. But I felt like my body willed itself there. It told me that it needed to be there, and I told myself that once I entered those doors, everything would be all right. That day marked the beginning of a very messy time in my life as I started incessantly going to that particular Subway joint. I purposely missed school, classes, and events, as all I wanted to do was be at the Subway joint down the block. Sometimes, I wouldn't even eat. I would just order a drink and sit there mindlessly for hours. Things got worse from there, and after a month, on one fateful afternoon, I realized that my incessant habit of going there, eating there, and spending all my time there had become a problem. So I went to the same people I abandoned for help, my friends. I fully expected them to turn me away, but they welcomed me with open arms. I pretty much moved in with them as they kept me under supervision. It was odd because I thought I was the only weirdo in the world who was incessantly addicted to going to a restaurant. Things went by well during the first week, but by the beginning of the second week, I couldn't take it anymore. I tried to sneak out of the house. I told lies and I came up with all sorts of excuses to leave, but my friends always saw through my bullshit. It got really bad at one point and I screamed at Emily. I will never forget the hurt look in her eyes as she said, "What's wrong with you, Will? This isn't you." I immediately started saying, "I'm sorry. I'm really sorry, Emily. I don't know what came over me." And that's when she said a statement that made a horrific realization flush through my mind as she looked at me and said, "This is a bit out of place, but you're really acting like my cousin Miles during the weeks leading up to his rehab. He was abstaining and I can swear that he lashed out the exact same way you lashed out at me." When she was done, I looked at all my friends and I said the words, "Guys, would you go with me to the hospital? I need to take a drug test." Perplexed, they all looked at me like I was crazy, but they all agreed. And after the test, a horrific revelation was revealed, as the doctor said that the traces of over 15 drugs were found in my system, and he couldn't identify what most of them were. He said some of them showed similar traits to drugs like Oxycontin, LSD, and ecstasy. But the chemical structure was a bit different. He also said other traces of drugs similar to opiates and hallucinogens were found, but he couldn't tell as they too possessed a slightly different chemical structure. He then said that these were the only ones he could identify as he didn't know what the rest of them were. We all had shocked looks on our faces as it was clear now that my body was going through withdrawal. But that wasn't what shocked us. No. What really shocked us was that I had never taken any hard drugs in my life, no matter how sad or depressed I was, so there was no explanation as to why there were drugs in my system. It didn't take long to put two and two together, as in that split second, everything was suddenly clear. After leaving the hospital, we all went to the police station, and I told the cops everything that happened and what I suspected was the cause. An investigation was carried out, and it was revealed that an unknown gas-like drug was being pumped and pushed through the vents of that particular Subway restaurant. As the investigations went on, it was revealed on the news the drug was not FDA approved, as they had no knowledge of the concocted drug. It was also shown on the news that all of the employees, including the manager, were taken for questioning as the police started to get to the bottom of the ghastly act. The case became extremely huge as lawsuits were filed and everyone wanted to sue. I was advised to sue, but I didn't. My mind couldn't take any more stress, and I just wanted to leave the whole thing behind. It's been 2 years now since the incident. The ordeal instantly made me a struggling addict, and I had to go to rehab. It was painful, but I got through it. After that, I went to therapy, and for the sake of my mental health, I swore to never go to any Subway restaurant again. I've avoided their restaurants for 2 years now, but sometimes, I feel the incessant urge to run into one of their restaurants and see if I would get the same euphoric feeling that I felt on that fateful first day. Don't get me wrong, I already know I wouldn't, as it was revealed that the incident was only carried out by that particular joint. But even then, I still fight that urge every day. And the sad part about it is that I know I'll be fighting this urge for the rest of my life.